on KOA. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mandy. Rick Perrin here in Glenwood Springs in Garfield County.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
And I'm good. How are you?
I'm well.
Barrett, well, we're all good. I'm county director for the recall polis effort.
Right.
And very pleased with what we have and where we're going with that. But I figured who else to break a great story than you?
Wait, I thought the recall polis movement failed already.
Oh, well, that's what they want to tell you. We didn't submit the petition. If you submit the petition and you don't have enough numbers, then it's failed. If you just simply don't put on the petition, you can resubmit it. We can resubmit today. We learned a lot. We know where to focus. It's not dead. We can recall.
Wait. So, I thought from the time that you guys get it approved to the time, there's 60 days that expires, right? So you have 60 days to gather those signatures?
Mm-hmm.
So what you're telling me is that there are people out there still gathering signatures and it's still moving forward, even though the time has either elapsed? I'm confused as to how it's still going.
No, we cannot gather signatures anymore. We had 60 days, and that's what was allowed by the Secretary of State.
Okay.
And we have told a number of people in media that we would not divulge our numbers, and a number of people really jumped on the ones. You know, when you go to the Capitol steps with a bunch of petitions and say 300,000 and everybody goes, oh, okay, something's wrong there. Why would you be a loser and go to the Capitol steps and say, oh, we're losers? Believe me, there's more to this. But if we haven't submitted, it's wide open. Anybody can submit a recall polis petition.
But you can't submit those same signatures, right? I mean, those signatures were gathered for a specific recall petition, correct?
Only those signatures can certainly count if they sign a new petition.
But that doesn't matter. If the signatures that are already on paper are no good beyond the 60 days.
Not true. Well, yeah, they're no longer good for that petition. That doesn't mean that they're not good for the next petition.
But you can't just move signatures over to a new petition. You have to have people re-sign.
You have to go out and get them re-signed. And, you know, there's been a lot, and this isn't the topic that I wanted to talk about, but there's been a lot of discussion about this in the media. And, we can go out and put the petition out again.
Rick, can I ask you a question? I'm going to be concise because I'm up against the clock here. Why not just work on finding a great opponent for the next election cycle and put all this time and energy and money into getting a great candidate to beat Jared Polis at the polls the next time around, rather than trying to recall a governor who won fair and square and is only doing exactly what he said he was going to do? And, you know, I just don't think that a recall is a very good expenditure of time, energy, and money.
Well, why not do both?
Because you can only focus your attention on so many things before it all starts to shatter into a million pieces. If you want to be effective, pick one. But the recall, I just don't see it happening. I think this is a fool's errand. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and that's fine. We know our numbers, and we know what's out there, and we know what we can get. We know what we didn't get. It's still way alive. But let me go back to, this is the story, is that Polis' husband, Marlon Rees, is listed on Polis' Facebook as a government servant. And that's a federal felony of 6 months.
Rick,
yeah, federal misdemeanor.
Rick, you guys are going to chase your tails and waste a tremendous amount of time, and Jared Polis is not going to be recalled. And if there is a successful recall, he's going to spend another $25 million against a candidate we don't even have yet. So I respect that people are mad, but talk about a waste of energy. This is a waste of energy. And if you're going to completely nitpick everything, then it's going to diminish the recall overall because it's going to fail. I'm not trying to bust anybody. It's going to fail. Decide it's going to fail and pivot to finding a great candidate, raising a crap load of money because Jared Polis is going to spend another $25 million to stay in office.
Sure.
So I mean, but at what point do you just say this didn't work?
Well, it didn't. And we learned a lot because we were going, you know, there's two groups, blah, blah, blah. The Republican Party wouldn't support either group, and not until towards the very end did they say, yeah, we're behind you. So, yeah, it may be a fool's errand, but we certainly, of those of us who are, the 63 of us who are county directors and some 3,000 to 4,000 volunteers, we don't think it's a fool's errand because he can do too much damage between now and then.
Do you realize,
election.
Rick, do you realize how much impact you could have for a candidate if you guys took 63 county directors and 3,000 volunteers and said, we're going to beat him? Do you realize the kind of infrastructure that you've put together that could be used to support someone in the next election cycle in a way that is meaningful and significant and can beat Governor Jared Polis at the polls rather than pursuing something
not
that's not going to happen? But I'm telling you, you can't serve two masters. I'll explain more after this.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, the voice of Colorado.
It is the second hour of the show. For those of you just flipping over from Rush, you know it's the second hour of the show. If I get one more email that says, I can't believe they cut your show to 2 hours, I'm going to lose my mind. We start the show at noon now. Thanks for joining you. I mean, you know, welcome. And if you just chose to stick that other hour with Rush, I'm okay with that. You can download the podcast later, but please, the show is 3 hours long, and it was magical. At the end of the last hour, we had a caller, a very nice man from the Glenwood Springs area. He's the county captain for the Recall Polis movement, and he proceeded to tell us that the recall movement was not dead, and that there are people working very diligently, blah, blah, blah. And I said, why don't you get behind a candidate? And he said, oh, we're going to do both. And I'm going to explain in very clear detail why that cannot happen. People have a finite capacity for outrage. Now, I know what you're thinking. Mandy, everybody's outraged about everything all the time. But if you try to remain outraged all the time, 100% of the time, it's exhausting, you're going to wear yourself out, and you're going to end up burning out because outrage takes a lot of energy. And I realize that there's a lot of people in the Recall Polis movement who are outraged because not only are things happening in their state that they're very, very unhappy about, Jared Polis is not the guy they want. He's such a progressive. He ran as a moderate. Some people feel duped, but I say if you feel duped, then you just weren't paying attention, right? You didn't do your due diligence because Jared Polis was a progressive when he was in Congress, and he's a progressive now. And he ran on a platform of doing things like gun control and other things that are happening. Not gun control, but you know what I mean. So here comes the Recall Polis movement. I thought this is a bad idea from the very beginning, and here's why. Jared Polis spent $25 million to be elected governor. Assuming that a recall movement was successful, meaning they got enough petitions on the ballot to push a recall onto the ballot, do you really think he would go quietly into the night? No, he would not have. He would have dropped another $25 million staying in office. And every person involved with the recall, when I asked specifically, well, what Republican is going to run against him, they didn't have an answer. So not only are you running against a guy with deep pockets, you're running against a guy who fair and square got elected by a pretty healthy margin in this state. So you have to go out and collect 600 and something thousand signatures just to get the recall on the ballot. And he says, we got 63 county captains. We got 3,000 plus volunteers. Fantastic. They failed at coming up with 600,000 plus signatures for a recall. Why not? Why not ask these people who have probably sacrificed a tremendous amount of their own personal time and energy and possibly their own money to support this recall endeavor? Why don't you go to them and say, okay, guys, there's a better way. Let's find a candidate. Let's rally around a candidate. Let's raise money for a candidate. Let's take this infrastructure that we've built and use it to approach the next election cycle like a finely tuned machine. Because people cannot serve two masters. That's what I said at the end of the last hour. And by that, I mean this. The recall movement was born of frustration and anger. It is an emotional reaction in this context because, as Matt, you know, people are going to try and figure out a way that Jared Polis violated the Constitution or did something illegal or any of that stuff, but they're very arcane points. And they're not something that's going to resonate with a lot of people. Whether you like it or not, it's not going to resonate. The fact that Jared Polis's husband is listed as a government employee on his Facebook is not going to resonate with most people. It's certainly not going to resonate with enough people to overcome a huge spending deficit for a popularly elected governor. So you cannot have the same passion go into two movements at the same time, even if ultimately the goal at the end is the same, right? The goal at the end of the recall movement is to get Jared Polis out of office. If you had a concerted effort to find a candidate to run against him, the same get Jared Polis out of office is the same outcome desired, but the strategies are much, much, much different. And they require a tremendous amount of energy. And they require a lot of effort. And I happen to think that the recall effort is wasted energy, money, and time. And it needs to go a lot beyond Jared Polis. If people are genuinely upset about Jared Polis being governor because he's taking the state in a direction they disagree with, they need to look at the entire cabinet. They need to look at every statewide position. They need to be working to come up with messaging to counteract the Democratic control of the legislature and all of the branches of government in this state. It's well beyond the governor at this point if you're upset about the direction of Colorado. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and it needs to be done intensively and starting now, and wasting time on something that's not going to happen because you feel passionate about it and you feel good about it, even though it's not going to work. I just think it's frustrating because I just see a lot of people ending up very disappointed, disillusioned, and then they check out. And then you've lost the opportunity to take this network of impassioned, engaged people and pivot it. I'm not even saying, like, you know, I think this is a significant pivot that needs to happen with the same end goal, different strategy, different tactics, same end goal. But it's got to be bigger than just the governor. Karen, you are on KOA.
Hey, Mandy, I'm driving, and I heard you. Forgive me, I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage because I didn't hear all of your points. But when I heard you talking about the recall, I thought, geez, I would really love to talk to Mandy because I was the media spokesperson for the Dismiss Polis, the recall movement that just wound down last week. And I did hear you say, and I would love to, I love that you're weighing in on this. I did hear you say that one would have to go down to, like, minute issues as to why Polis ought to go. Now, you know, yes, the recall was not successful, but I would disagree. I'd beg to differ that it was minute. You're talking about a governor who signed into law issues that imposed on Coloradans things that are blatantly and wholly unconstitutional, like taking away our vote for president. Like, you know, we know all the issues. We've been talking about them for a long time. So I wanted to hear more about what you thought, and because a meeting has not taken place as to what the leaders are going to do. I was like Sarah Huckabee Sanders in this context.
Well, let me ask you, let me throw this out, Karen. Let me throw this out as far as the recall goes. None of those things you just mentioned would have happened without a democratically controlled legislature, right? None of them.
No doubt. No doubt.
And the people of Colorado, but you know as well as I do, governors and presidents sign laws that are blatantly unconstitutional all the time, because the standard that used to exist where legislatures took their responsibility to ensure that laws they passed were going to be constitutional is so like 1955, okay? Now they pass a bill with the hopes that it's constitutional and the knowledge that if it's not, the courts will probably overturn it. That's what they do.
Yeah, and they'll take it to court. And everything gets decided in the courts.
So, but my point is, that's not a standard for a recall anymore. In my view, that's not high crimes and misdemeanors. That's not a blatant disregard.
Has, impeachment is high crimes and misdemeanors. Recall, I don't believe the standards have ever completely been set. What the people who wanted to recall Polis, and I wouldn't discourage them, you know, I'm not sure I'd do it again, but that's up to them to hire me. I did it voluntarily. But to exercise your rights to recall a governor who, by the way, if he hadn't signed those bills into law, they wouldn't be in law. In January of this year, as you know, we will be under a red flag bill in which due process is thrown right out the window, and anybody can finger anybody else, a law-abiding citizen, without that person even knowing about it.
Well, Karen, no. Now, the laws aside, so we disagree with the law, and I disagree with it as well. As it's written, I think it's terrible. So, but the fact of the matter is, are we now going to become a society in Colorado where if somebody gets elected that we don't like the way they legislate, instead of waiting until the next election cycle and demonstrating to the people of Colorado why those policies were bad and need to be undone, we, in a fit of pique, are going to use the recall as a bludgeon instead of trusting the process to correct itself using better information and better campaigning in the future?
Well, I think that's an incredibly optimistic opinion, and it's a well thought out one. The problem is that you have an opponent that has blatantly fixed the election laws so that people who have a different voice are not being listened to. And we play the game, they play the game with swords and and machine guns, and we're playing tiddlywinks over here. So they wanted to have their voices heard. I thought that was completely constitutional. And I'm not saying it's unconstitutional.
I'm saying it's a bad idea. Right. Those two things are totally separate. Whether or not we have the right to pursue a recall, I actually think that the movement to reform the recall is misguided, because in this case, I think the recall worked as it was supposed to. The signatures could not be gathered, so this governor will not face a recall from this organization. That means that the will of the people was not behind it. That's how it should work.
Except that the rules were pretty arbitrary, but I think that you have a well-considered opinion. And of course, there were a lot of people who disagreed with this particular course of action. My feeling is, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. And there were people that were utterly passionate and heartbroken when the recall wasn't successful. The question I'd ask you, Mandy, who I really respect, is what's your line in the sand? When do you finally stand up using every tool you can to try your best to rein in a monopolistic, dictatorial legislature that will do anything, and watch, they'll do it this coming session as well, to impose basically Marxism on Colorado? I'm a native of Colorado. I was born and raised here. It kills me to see what they're doing to our state.
Well, Karen, here's the thing. Here's what I would recommend to all of those disheartened people, and it goes to my point of what my line in the sand is. My line in the sand is, if I don't like it, I give money to candidates I support. I'm going to support candidates. I gave my first donation that I've ever given in my current life. When I started doing talk radio, I stopped giving political donations. I just gave a donation to someone for a school board race in Douglas County. I'm going to find candidates that I agree with, and I'm going to support them and urge other people to support them, because ultimately I believe in the system. And I also believe that if I can't make a compelling argument during the election cycle to get my candidates elected, perhaps I need to either rethink or, by the way, read a copy of the blueprint. Why are people on the right in Colorado, the natives that are so passionate, who are trying to recall Jared Polis, why are they not emulating the plan that has been laid out in book form that was utilized by progressives to turn the state blue in the first place? This is what is completely beyond me. There's a book there. There's a book.
Now, that's a spectacular question. And they've gone 15 years beyond that blueprint. They're into Blueprint 401 now.
Right.
And
so you're kind of paying attention. Karen, you're kind of making my point in this, in that how much energy is being expended on a recall that has very little chance of succeeding? Very little chance. Instead of saying, okay, how can we create organizations to compete with the organizations created by the progressives, you know, 10, 15 years ago? How can we counterbalance that?
I agree, but maybe you're breaking news that I didn't know about. I mean, the recall that I represented is done for the moment. Are you saying that you're trying to discourage people from doing it again? I probably would too, but that isn't my decision to make. My question, though, is we're not Democrats. We never march in lockstep. And I'm not even a Republican. I'm an independent now. And when people are fired up, they get fired up about a lot of things. When they're sitting on the couch, and let me tell you, people were fired up and they had no structure within which to have their voices heard. People weren't just being persuaded to sign those petitions. They were clamoring to sign those petitions.
I get it. And not enough people were clamoring. That's the problem. Not enough people are clamoring. Now, here's, let me just leave
well,
it with it.
Wait, hang on, Karen.
Because I'm running short on time. Hang on one second. I want to make this point. When you have a finite resource, which is people that are so pissed off and angry, use it smart. That's the thing. This is a short view. This is like playing small ball when the Democrats have been playing long ball for the last 20 years. This is another example of short-sightedness, because what happens if you get the recall on the ballot? What happens when Jared Polis drops another $20 million into the race? What happens when there's not even a Republican who has stood up and said, I want to run? What happens then? It's wasted energy. That's my point.
You know what, Mandy? I love this discussion. I know you don't always do politics, and I'm kind of a political junkie. But these discussions are ones that need to be had, and I would love to be a part of those discussions that you have on your show. Because I think Coloradans in general, you know, the so-called grassroots, they know more than the consultants do about what needs to happen. And I think you make some superb points. They do.
I just want to, you know, I don't want to just do something because it feels good. I want to do something that's going to be effective. And if I thought this would ever be effective, I would get behind it. But I have looked at it from 50 different angles, and I don't ever see it working. I see a better strategy be going towards that next election and spending our energy there. Karen, I appreciate the phone call very much. Very much. But I still, no one is going to convince me I'm wrong about this, just to let you know. On some subjects, I am malleable. The death penalty, I'll hear both sides. I still waffle on it. Mostly I lean on the no side on that. But hey, this, you're never going to convince me that it's going to work. You're just not. And I just am heartbroken to think that there are heartbroken people out there who work their tails off and get nothing in return.